Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Robbie Kuyeth is a motion designer creating for some of the biggest brands in sports, but that's just part of the story. He's a husband, a father, and a leader who brings creativity and purpose into everything he does. Today, we're diving into creativity, leadership, and the deeper purpose behind the work. You're going to love this conversation. Let's get started.
So today I'm so excited to have Robbie Kuyeth. Robbie, welcome to Table Talks. I've been waiting for this podcast to record for weeks and weeks. I am so excited. Welcome to Table Talks.
Thank you for having me, Kim. I appreciate it. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in a while, so I'm excited to get a talk.
Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to catch up. We're going to have a good conversation and catch up. So your official title is motion designer, but I have had the privilege of knowing you since you were a teenager. I've known you a long time, over 15 years and probably getting closer to 20, but you're a very talented designer now, and you're an amazing leader. You're a great husband and a father now of a toddler, which is probably the most fun thing you do. I would bet you would say to me that that's the best. Mm-hmm. But your journey is so inspiring to me. I can't wait for people to hear what you do for a job. It is like, so if people know me at all, they know I'm a huge sports fanatic. I love football the best. I'm watching a lot of basketball right now because I'm hoping you're going to have another bracket for March Madness. So I'm having to see what teams are good right now. Robbie had a bracket last year. For the first time, I joined it and put my $5 in or whatever, and I won, which was the craziest thing. I was the only old lady, and I won because I put Alabama in the Final Four. Woohoo! And they're good again.
You won last year? I totally forgot that.
I won. I got the money. Really? And I got swimsuits. Okay. Yes.
All right. Defending champ then. You got to win back-to-back years.
I know. Wouldn't that be I would do
that. That'd be crazy.
About it. So exciting. But I love your, I can't wait to talk about your career, but also about how you navigate life and faith, because your journey, it's just been amazing. So let's just get started. So I want to know, when did you realize that you were creative? Like, creativity was something that you wanted to pursue.
Yeah, I honestly, this took me such a long time. Growing up, I always thought athletics was something that, I was more inclined towards, even though I was never great at sports. But I started liking creativity, I would say, in high school. I wouldn't call it creativity because I always thought arts or anything artsy was, just not for me.
You were the quarterback, right? You were the quarterback in high school?
No, that was my brother. I played a lot of receivers. Yeah. And I was okay, but I was never great at it. But I started doing a lot of highlight videos for youth football teams, for high school football teams eventually, and then doing, the ridiculous videos at the church for the middle school ministry. And I just loved making videos. And even though some of them were horrible and just, they didn't hit, it was just a passion that I found. But when I was in college, I thought I wanted to be an athletic trainer. So I went into that, and I didn't realize that was the people on the sideline doing the tape and all of that. I hated that. I hated medical. And so then I switched to exercise science. I wanted to be a trainer, and then I wanted to be a nutritionist, and I couldn't figure out what clicked. I even went into physical education. And then finally, at this time, I was working at the church. I think it was part-time originally, eventually full-time with elementary and doing a lot of graphic design, video creation and stuff. And I was I like this stuff. And so then I just switched to community college. It solidified that was where my passion was. It wasn't in sports, it was in creativity. And it just kind of went off from there. after that. So it took a while. I never knew I was a creative until the end of my stint at the church, which was like 2017, but it worked.
How could it have been that long already? Because,
I know.
That's how I met you at Citizen Church. You were a teenager, your family started coming to our church, and then you started helping, like you mentioned, the middle school program. Those videos are all over YouTube. Oh my gosh. They're so funny.
No, I always get from your grandson, from Asher, he'll say, hey, I was watching your videos. And like, I just need to delete the videos because
they entertain us. We go to their house and we'll just start all those Fahrenheit videos and we'll watch them one after the other. And we laugh so hard. But isn't it interesting that something that was just so silly and the equipment wasn't good? I mean, you guys had cheap stuff because we didn't invest in it back then at the church like we do now with, thousands of dollars of cameras. You just had probably a little Super 8 or something.
JVC.
And you're out there, it was insane. So that's a good laugh, but it's interesting to me what started as a, just to help out our youth pastor then turned into, so much more for you. So you, did you graduate? What did you finally do? What was your?
So I got the associate degree at CNM, and I think it's called digital media. It's basically an intro to a lot of those creative Adobe programs. But I was offered a job after that. So like, I think I graduated like summer 2015 with an associate. Later that year, the University of New Mexico Lobos reached out with a video job. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. I didn't know I could work in sports and do this stuff. And so I got through the interview phase. And then they were like, well, because you don't have a bachelor degree, we can't hire you. Yeah. And I was like so disappointed there. But it was good because then it made me go back to UNM and finish out. My degree is liberal arts, which is one of those that you just make up a bunch of stuff. So it's not worth a bunch, but at least I got it, So
that's crazy. Did you do any internships once you in this field before you got big?
No, I never did any internships other than like the summer internships at the church as a high schooler, but I didn't learn any of this stuff. But again, like those first years at the church were just so instrumental, to learning this stuff, because I just feel like you guys, maybe not you guys directly, but like the youth pastors, like Adam, and the leaders back then just kind of let us, they had no reason to trust us making those videos. But they're like, yeah, go ahead. And that it just kind of took off from there.
And I've seen a lot of the videos. I'm not sure they should have trusted you, but they did. Oh. I mean, it's crazy. Like you want your son in those videos today, like doing some of the crazy things y'all did. It was like, who said yes? That's what my husband said when he's watching them. Mm. He said, who said yes to this? Did Adam even know? So it's great. It was just a fun time, but you built relationships then that that kept you in church and a lot of really cool things. But I think this is accurate that some of your first roles, so you got that little taste when the Lobos asked you, would you do some videos for them? That's a huge thing. Division One, University of New Mexico, Lobos, and they're having a good year themselves. Well, I fell asleep before last night. I don't know if they won or not, but
they lost.
Did they lose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
Anyway. I think your first roles was Arizona State University. Is that right? One of your first jobs that you had, and also with Los Angeles, the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my first.
How do you get a job with the Rams?
Dude, I was asking myself the same thing. Like those leading up to specifically the Arizona State job, like were just months of unemployment, because when I decided to step down from my position at the church, it wasn't for anything. I just felt like it was time because, the pastor that I was under, which was Adam, he was stepping down, and I was like, I just feel like this is the right moment. And I remember I applied to, and this isn't like exaggeration, I applied to 150 to 200 jobs between October and January, I believe. I have every cover letter still. And it wasn't sports. It was any open graphic designer or video producer position that I could find on, any of those job sites. I was just constantly like scouring those, and any new one I would apply. I think I heard back from five maybe, but I only got to the second round once in terms of interviews. And so by the time my last day was at the church, I think it was like January 31st, 2017, I had nothing. I was terrified. I was afraid I'd have to go, I don't want to say I'm a prideful guy, but like it would break me to have to like go back to the church and be like, hey, I can't find a job. Do you guys think you could like hire me back on? But that was going through my head like really bad then. But ultimately, I just kept applying. And then God finally hit me with like common sense. I was praying like, God, why won't you give me a job? And he was like, I just felt him say like, dude, your portfolio, not dude, that's not how God talks, but look at your portfolio. You're applying for these sports jobs or these corporate jobs, and all you have is like kids ministry stuff on there, which I would hope, you know, really good creative directors and really good hiring managers can be like, oh, this guy gets design. It can translate to sports, but it just wasn't happening. And so I spent, I think, 3 months from like February to beginning of February to beginning of end of April, creating a new sports design each day. It was all just like stuff that I thought of. It wasn't for pay or anything like that, but it was just like to get better. And then like the call started coming in, the email started coming in, and I got offered positions. And finally, at the end of April, it was between, I think it was an internship with the Indianapolis Colts. And that was super attractive to me because I love the NFL. But I'm 24 at this point, and I feel like I need more than an internship. The Spurs had offered me a full-time job, and then Arizona State had a position. And so I took Arizona State just because it was close to New Mexico. And, you know, I went out there. The move wasn't fun. I don't like relocating, and I did not like being away from my family and all my friends here, and finding a church out there was not easy, but I was there. And then I was so like overwhelmed with like, God, thank you. You did it. You gave me a job. And within 2 weeks, my prayers had turned from thank you into I hate this job. I love the people here. I love the city, but what they were having me do, or you could think of like handouts and like pamphlets for their partnership with Mayo Medical Clinic. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And it was just like, I hate this so much. Like I hate the work. But I was terrified to look elsewhere because I thought it would look horrible on a resume. I didn't want to feel like a quitter. My prayer then just turned to like, God, I need your help to enjoy this or figure out something because this is just miserable. And it was just so nuts. Like I got out there mid-May. By mid-June, I had an email from the Rams just one random night. Like my girlfriend had come to visit, my now wife had come to visit me. We're going to see Cars 3. Terrible movie, horrible movie. But I remember getting the email and it said, hey, are you interested to interview for the Rams motion graphic designer position? And I told Michaela, who is my wife, she was like, you can't move again. You know how stressful that was, how expensive that is to relocate. I was like, I'm just going to say yes, because there's less than a 1% chance I get this job. Like I'm not a motion designer. I'm a graphic designer. They gave me the interview. I remember telling them like, I don't know 3D super well, which is just think 3D design. It's completely different programs. I was trying to almost disqualify myself because I didn't feel like I even deserved a phone call or an email from them. I got to the next stage after the interview. They said, hey, could we get this? It's called a design test. So they sent like a hypothetical. We need a headshot, like an intro animation for Todd Gurley, who was a running back then. They just want to see what you can come up with. And so I remember like getting that and being like, you know, I have 2 days to create the best possible animation that I can create. And if I hit this out of the park, like this could at least get me out of Arizona State, you know, maybe change the course of my life. And I tried so hard on that animation. I remember, again, Michaela was still out there, and I remember her sitting like in my living room, my little apartment living room. And I was in my room, like, just trying so hard to come up with something cool. And it ended up working out. I got the second interview and I was in LA middle of July. And it was just like, again, just God just opening doors and just helping me figure out like, no, I don't love this type of design. I love motion design, and giving me a job in the NFL in LA at the time was everything and more that I could have asked for. So I know that's a long story, but like, it's just like God just consistently open doors, and just he would answer, which is crazy because now, you know, some other things in life, but God doesn't always answer quickly. But back in 2017, I just feel like, you know, I had his number and he was just constantly answering and answering and answering. And so I just look back, even just preparing for this podcast, like, you know, it's so easy to forget how good he's been and how many doors and how many times he provided for me, that I had no business getting that job, but you know, it's a God thing. So
I have chills listening to you say this, because it's just, that's so affirming to and confirming to so many people that might be listening that are, you know, just looking for God for that answer. And like you said, it doesn't always happen that way, but you were so faithful in the process too. So eventually you started being able to not have to live where you're doing the job. So this is so cool. And I don't even know all you've done. I mean, I hear people talk about it, but and they know how excited I get about sports, but can you talk about some of the projects that you've done the past few years? Because I mean, literally, how does this happen from the kid helping? This is what I want people to see, that God really does have a plan for our lives. And if we, you know, just give ourselves to that plan and to his, you know, ask God for his will, he wants to direct us to good things, right? Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the projects you've done in motion graphics over the last few years?
Yeah, so since being self-employed, I usually work now directly with teams. And so most of my work, I would say, consists of creating graphics packages. And so if you just have no idea what that is, it's, if you go to a stadium, if you've ever been to a stadium, it's the entire motion suite that they're playing at their game. So if you go to a football game and it says touchdown, and maybe it's an interception, like all of that stuff that plays after the big plays, or sometimes sponsorship requests, which not always the most fun, but you know, it pays the bills. Some recent ones have been, I worked with the Chiefs very closely, kind of starting in 2021. In 2022, I helped them revamp their stadium package. And I always joke with Michaela, or my wife, just because most teams will switch up their graphics packages every like year or two. The Chiefs have kept the same one since 2022. And I think it's because they're superstitious, because they never lost a playoff game until this last Super Bowl with the package. Not has nothing to do with what I did, but I just think they're superstitious when it comes to that. So that one's always fun. I worked with the Broncos and the Chargers and the Jets last year, doing same stuff, graphics packages, but they do new stuff pretty much every year. Lately, I've been helping redesign a few NCAA championship packages. So like soccer, wrestling. And then I think last year, yeah, it was last year, I helped Arizona State and Texas Tech revamp all of their stuff. So you design for colleges, you typically design for football, and then they will repurpose it for basketball, baseball, whatever other sports they have. And then I just finished working on some Super Bowl projects, not a full package, but think like headshots. So when a player does something in a game, they usually they'll animate on a video or a player of them, or and a cutout of them. And it has some stats and their name and stuff like that. So not a full package there, but that's a big team that usually takes on those big events. So those are more recent, the last year or two, but they've all been fun.
I'm going to get the story wrong, but one of them, like you were stuck. I feel like the story y'all posted, you and Michaela, you were stuck on something and she kind of gave her idea. What was that one for? I can't remember.
Oh, I saved that for later on, Kate, but.
That's great. Okay. I'm going to ask.
We can do it. We can do that. That was one of my favorite projects. It was for the Philadelphia Eagles, they released a new jersey, a throwback jersey for their Kelly Green. And they gave very specific inspiration. And it was this like kind of 90s look, hand-drawn, black and white, that they wanted for the background. So like the Kelly Green uniforms really popped for the photos. And I started kind of, you know, because I can do some hand-drawn stuff. And I was like, yeah, this doesn't feel right. I asked some people at the church, kind of got a feeler if they'd be interested at all. And I never really felt like anybody either had the time or were super interested. And so I just had a lot of work, I remember, at that period. And I remember Michaela came home from work and I was like, hey, can you just try to, you know, draw Eagles, the word Eagles, in this style? And I showed her. And she took it seriously, which is crazy because she's a nurse. She's now a stay-at-home mom, but she was a nurse. She would call herself not creative at all. But she did it. And I was like, that's not bad. And so then I just kind of kept giving her directions. And she ended up taking on, I'd say, 90% of that project. The Eagles loved it. It was when they released those jerseys, it was everywhere, like on ESPN, on all their promotional stuff. And I was just blown away because that's not my work. that was my wife's work, and she just did a phenomenal job. So that is one of my favorite projects that I've ever done, just because, you know, my wife came in and basically stole the show, and it's just funny.
And she continues to do that every day.
She's the best part of me for sure.
She is just an amazing person herself. So those first experiences, I mean, like, I know that everything built on everything. And is this kind of like what you do? The industry is it word of mouth? How do you get these jobs now? How do people know about you?
That's a hard question. Like, I don't really know. I feel like, and again, I don't want to just keep giving like the God answer. There has been so much provision when it comes to this. I haven't had to do really any cold calling, for lack of a better term. Besides maybe when I first jumped to freelance, I did that with one client. I think a lot of it had to do with the work that I did that one season I was at the Rams. Like, it got attention, not just because of me, because of the other creatives too that I worked with. And I just met the right people at the right time. And I've been able to form relationships with a lot of these teams, like the Kansas City Royals are a team I work with, and I've worked with them for I think 5 or 6 years. And that's invaluable. Like, when you get into this, you're like, oh, I want to collect as many logos as I can, look at all these teams, and which is a horrible, horrible attitude to have. But like, I found myself there. And now that I'm 5, 6 years into it, it's like, it's those relationships, those clients that keep coming back. You know, the ones that will ask about my family and the ones that I know about theirs. Those are the ones that keep giving me work. But then they also, you know, someone from their organization will leave to a different team or to a different company, and I get an email from them saying, hey, this person really liked working with you over the past few years at the Royals or wherever it was. We'd be interested to see if you wanted to work. So I feel like that's just God's hand on it. And but, you know, it's also making sure, you know, I have a good attitude. And when people do talk to me, it's a positive experience rather, you know, than getting off those calls and being like, man, I just feel worse about myself, or I'm not, you know, we all have those calls where there's just something off.
Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way to help more people find the podcast and be encouraged. Thanks for listening, and now back to the episode. What a niche you have, though. That's like, before you got this job and you were doing that, you go in a stadium and you just take for granted all that stuff that's going on where, you know, let's get loud or whatever that is happening. And now every stadium I go in, I look at all the motion graphics and I think about you every time, because I'm thinking somebody is doing this for their full-time job. Someone is creating motion graphics, and every little detail and branding is just, you know, unbelievable to me. And that you, you know, obviously we've talked about, you didn't stumble into this, God directed you, but to get into this niche with something that you love, because God, I feel like, granted a desire of your heart. You really love sports. We sometimes stop in the atrium of our church and talk about the latest game, especially during college football season. Everybody knows I'm a huge Alabama fan. And there was a time, I don't know your team now, but you're a big Florida fan because you loved really Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I was at a conference he spoke at last week, and it was really, really, really cool. I was on second row right there with Tim Tebow. It was really, really good.
That's cool.
And, all I could think about was you, but Bama won that night, and that was really fun. We were at your parents' house watching it. So I love high school football and college, but what a niche you have, and that whole unique edge. And I know there's unique challenges and rewards, but I can't even imagine. So if a company hires you, just, can you tell us kind of like, what's that process? So if they say, I mean, how do you make it different for all these teams? Like, how's your brain work that way?
I mean, that's difficult too. Like, it depends on their brand. So teams typically will give me a brand. So they already have brand guidelines, which basically is like this big PDF, and it shows, you know, these are the fonts we use, these are the textures we use, these are the logos that you can use, and here's how not to use logos here, the background, like everything. The better, you know, the more fleshed out, the better. And so you kind of just, it's hard to explain how like my mind thinks that way, but like, I always try to, what's a good example? Like the Jets. The Jets are a good example because it's easy to like explain to people. Like if you think of a jet in just the real world, you think very fast, very digital too, if you want to think of like the interfaces, like what the pilot sees and stuff like that. And so I get their brand guideline and I want to make it as accurate as possible if a team wants this. And so my goal with the Jets was to make all of their in stadium, all of their social broadcast stuff, everything feel like it's moving in a digital manner. And so that's a lot of, and so like from my perspective, like to get super deep into it, is a lot of like this quick stop and go, like not exactly like smooth, like flowy motion. It's more like, you know, like it's a little unstable, but you, unless it's like a get loud, you might want unstable because it feels like everything's shaking in the stadium. But something maybe like a first down that you see a lot, like it's just still digital, but maybe not at the energy level that a get loud or a touchdown would be. And so there's a lot of like different pockets to go into there, like the digital, but then also the energy level. But ultimately things kind of naturally look different just based on their brand guidelines and based on what their team is. Like the Chargers, like they wanted more stormy. And so that's very easy to get away from digital if they want everything like flashy and like rumbly. It's just different. And so I could go in so many different directions, but I just, that's kind of the very basic overview of that.
I want to say something really snarky about my Cowboys, but I'm going to keep it to myself. They just want pictures of Jerry going around the circle. Yep.
There you go.
I don't even know that they can be saved. If they ever get good again, then I would pray that they would choose you. But right now, I wouldn't wish that on you. But how do you stay current with trends? Because now you've been doing this 5 or 6 years, trends change. So what do you do to keep educated on trends?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as much as I hate social media, like I just am not a fan of it. I find some really good stuff on like Instagram, on Twitter even, because I'm, you know, you follow the right accounts that will post, you know, new stuff. Or I used to be really big on Vimeo, which is a video hosting site, kind of like YouTube you could think of. But a lot of creative professionals used it. And they made it really easy to like, you'd see a video you like, and then you could go into a collection, they would call it, and you'd see videos similar to it. And it was back in the day, I used to love to try to get to collections that were from people in Europe or Japan. So I could try to differentiate my motion based off of references from other countries, so it didn't look like everything in the US. It's a little bit harder nowadays, but I still think social media is the best. And then, you know, other sites like Dribbble or Behance, which are design specific. And so that's really how to stay up to date, is just constantly being inundated with it everywhere, which is not good for your eyes and, you know, probably not your health overall, but you know, it's the best way I think to consume it.
How many hours a week do you work, do you think?
How many hours a week? It depends if it's busy season. I'm pretty good at still staying near 40 busy seasons. I can get, you know, up to 60 or so, just because it's more of like a 7 days a week type of thing. But busy season really is just lead up to football. So that's usually like end of June through middle of September is pretty hard. But right now I'm at 40. I feel pretty normal, like a normal workload right now.
So we talked about the Eagles jersey as kind of being a standout project. Yeah. What would you say has been the most challenging? Would that have also been the most challenging? Or what would you say made you like you thought this has got to be good? Like all eyes are on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that one was challenging just because I got to a point where I didn't think I was the best option for that. In terms of challenging overall, I'd say my first like self-employed project, which was helping the Oakland Raiders do their very last stadium package in Oakland, like right before they moved to Vegas. And that was what made me like leave my full-time job at the agency that I was working at. And I just put it was a ton of pressure because I put a ton of pressure on myself. Like it was my first freelance contract. Two, they didn't have a great, like I just explained the style guide. Their style guide was nothing. They're like, this is the font we like. Don't mess with the logo at all. And here's a couple of like line elements you could use, I don't even think like a local company here in Albuquerque has one that bad. So I didn't have anything to work with. And then I also just bit off a lot more than I could chew. And I started trying out new techniques, new methods, which is a good thing to do, but I wasn't super skilled in that area, like 3D design. And so it was just a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And I don't feel like I did a great job on that. And then in terms of just putting pressure on myself, probably be one of the Broncos jobs, just because I'm a huge Denver Bronco fan. And anytime they give me work, even if it's a little project, I'm like, oh man, I got to break the mold on this and come up with something absolutely crazy. So those ones are always difficult, but they always are super rewarding at the end, because I usually do figure something out when it comes to the Broncos. But the Raiders one was just, I don't know, it was just hard. I just was new to it and overthought pretty much everything.
They're an arch enemy of the Broncos too.
Oh,
so
I
that's, I mean, that's just like, hey, trying to go do something for Auburn. I'm like, oh, I don't even
know. No, I had to go. They brought me out there for one of the preseason games just to kind of show me what they were wanting and what the boards were like. And they made me wear a Raiders polo. I felt so bad. I know.
So that's another question I have that when you said it made me think, do you go to the stadiums where you create these graphics? Do you get to go see them in real time?
Some teams are really good about bringing you out ahead of, you know, the work, so that you can meet the team or see specific details about the stadium. Most of them aren't. Some of them will provide tickets if you ask. Others won't. And so it's just client dependent. But the ones that like I really want to go to, like, we'll buy tickets and, you know, just go see it ourselves, just because it's a unique experience to see that, you know.
So exciting. I mean, honestly, like, for me, it would be a dream. I love all of that. This whole interview is just making me wish it was football season again. But this is my least favorite time of the year. After basketball's over, then I'm like, what do you do?
After basketball's over, I agree.
Like, what happens now? We just sit there and look at each other. Sundays, the whole thing. But I have a few more questions for you, because the time goes by so fast. So where do you see your career going in the next few years? To me, I think you've hit the pinnacle, so.
Only downward from here, huh?
That's what sounds like me.
Yeah. no, that's a question I've been struggling with a lot. Is just kind of knowing, because if I'm just being completely transparent, like, I feel like I got into a comfortable, lazy almost season. Not lazy, it's just like everything's going well, clients are coming in. What do I need to do except provide good work? So I've been pretty conflicted over that for the last, I'd say, year or so. And I feel like my next step is for sure to, I guess the easiest way to put it is to create a brand almost, not like a crazy brand, but just more so a name for the company, a name, a logo possibly, a website. I need to, for a motion designer, you need to create a new reel, which is a quick video that showcases all of the work you've done. I was hoping to have that done by this interview, but I don't think there's any way I can get it done by until like end of April. That's what I'm shooting for. And so I'm almost done with it. And I just feel like God's always put that kind of just as the next step in front of me. And even though I don't know what's to come after that, whether it's, you know, maybe hiring on people, maybe just continuing to take the next, like, I just have to just pray about it. And God hasn't steered me wrong at all in my career so far. And so as long as I create this foundation and, you know, just listen to him, and hopefully these are some building blocks for the future, then I'm not too concerned about the next 5 years. It's just all I have is the next step. And that's what I'm currently working on right now. And I can't wait till it's over, because I complain about it to my wife pretty much every single day, how I need to get this out. I need to be done with this. And it's literally taken 2 to 3 years for me to get here. So,
but you know, talked about this whole interview, we've talked about, because it was a question I had, but you've answered it the whole way through, is about how your faith has guided you all the way. And I mean, it has truly from the get-go. But I know there was a time in your life where, you know, your family, you grew up in church, your grandparents are in church, your parents and your aunties and uncles, and you just have been around church as a teenager and young adult. But there was a time, because you depend so heavily on your faith and your decision-making and everything, but there was a time you had to really make it your own. You come to a place where you say, okay, is this mine, or is it just something I've done because my parents took me there. And I think that's such an incredible, you know, way for us to start to, you know, wrap up this time together is talk about, you know, how you made your faith your own, because you truly had to depend on it, and not just for your career, but you and your wife struggled with infertility for a long time and you had loss in that, but now you have a baby. But there's been so many opportunities for you to depend on your faith. Yeah. And I don't know where you'd be. I mean, I think, where would we be if we didn't have that to fall back on? So how did you come to terms with all of that?
No, I mean, it's crazy long story, and I'll try to keep it short. It's just, again, like you said, like I grew up in church and I went to a Christian school through 10th grade and I knew the Bible. I believed the Bible. I memorized the Bible for literal grades at that school. And when I was a freshman, it's crazy, Kate, because this is literally 17 years to the day of when I was forced to go to my first 212, which was the youth group at First Family Church back then. And I remember my parents forced me to go. They had, like, I was dealing so much with insecurity and like self-harm thoughts back then. And they had no idea of that, but they saw, like, I just wasn't, I don't know. They, you know, they're Christians too. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit, you know, spoke to them and said, you got to get this guy to church. But I walked in, I remember that night, not wanting to be there. And I knew some kids from school, but they weren't people I hung out with. And I went through that service and I was like, you know, like, it's a good church. Like, it was interesting. I'm guessing Dustin spoke and I thought it was fine. But at the end, what got me hooked, and this is crazy, I don't think too many people know this, but at the end of the service, so this is February 26, 2008. I remember this date like so clear. At the end of the service, they had closing announcements, which I know most people tune out, but they had an announcement for something called Pro Bowl, which was a flag football tournament that was going to be happening Saturday, March 8th at Bullhead Park. And I remember my first thoughts are, oh man, I love football. It's not football season. I would love to play in a flag football tournament against a bunch of church kids. Like, I'll crush these kids. Like, we'll dominate. And so I turned to my friends and some of my new friends that I just met there. I was like, are you guys playing in this? And they're like, yeah, I think so. But you got to be in a small group to be a part of it. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I could do that. These people seem nice. And so one of the Sundays leading up to March 8th, I went to my first Sunday service at First Family. I hung out with those guys I met, and they took me to, I think the small group was called Fusion, and Nick Camacho and Amber Harwell were the leaders, and we had a flag football practice, and it was just terrible. No athleticism on the team. We were probably going to get crushed, so it was probably up to me to win the tournament. And that was my thought. You know, I was super cocky back then, and I'm not even that good at football.
Yes, you were.
No, but what ended up happening, I'll come back to this day, because that day is actually very important. But at the tournament, we got there and two or three teams had brought in complete varsity football teams from like Sandia and La Cueva, local high schools here. And we went 0-2, eliminated right away. But it got me hooked, and it got me friends that, you know, that I would have never joined a small group. That was just not me. But that day that I went to that small group practice, in between church and that practice, the guy I was with had something called fine arts practice. And I remember walking into, because I had to wait for him because I didn't drive. I walked into the sanctuary, and I don't know how, there's the first time I met you. I don't know how you knew my name, if it was my grandparents or if it was just some random leader, but you walked up to me and you said, hey, is your name Robbie? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, well, we need more boys in fine arts and in choir and in human video. So you're doing fine arts. I'd been at the church for like 2 weeks and you were recruiting me for fine arts. And my first thoughts were, I don't do fine arts, lady. And, you know, also though, the other part of me was just feeling very like I was wanted at the church. And that was a feeling that I had never experienced at that level, like the community and just like how friendly people were, the pastors, the leaders, like it was just, I don't know. I wish I could go back to that time, because it was just the amount of just love that I felt that I needed as a freshman in high school, just came from so many different people there. And then people that I have no idea would shape my life for the next decade. But sorry, that's a long story to say, like, yeah, that got me involved. I fell in love with the church. I fell in love with fine arts. I remember being at 212 a month or two later and them singing The Stand by Hillsong, which says like, I'll stand with with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And all of this head, like, I didn't think I was going to get emotional, but all of this head knowledge that I had throughout my life, like it just hit me at once. Like at the end of my freshman year, like he died like for me. And like, why am I not living my life just abandoned to him? And it just, it crushed me, but in the best way. And then from then on, it was just, I just love being around the church. I love serving. And I went through seasons of serving at a selfish ambition. And then eventually God, kicking me in the butt and say, wake up, dude. Like, this isn't about you. This is about others. Like, wake up. And that happened so many different times, but the character development and the community that I was able to find at First Family, at Copper Point, at Citizen Church, it is impossible for me to ever, this is why I'm doing the interview. Like I was telling you before, like, I don't like to talk. I don't like any of this, but I'm so grateful for you and your family and just the culture that you guys built there. And then, you know, that my faith continued to grow. And I would say it really became my own as, you know, as trials hit, like you were saying, like with the miscarriage and the infertility, but also even, it sounds little now, but breakups in high school and, thinking you chose the wrong thing to do with your life when it comes to college and employment. It's just, God's always been there and he's always just basically been like, I got you. Like, I will provide for you. Just trust me. And I only had that faith in him because of, what all started February 26, 2008. And so, like I said, that was a long answer, but the amount of gratitude that I have for you guys and for the church in general is just something I can never fully articulate because, you know, it's changed my life. Every good thing that I have I can trace back to that day.
Wow. You're so eloquent. I can't even imagine that you say you don't like to talk. You're so eloquent. I mean, no wonder people want to hire you. You tell a beautiful story with words and then also with what you do for your job. You, as we're closing, you and your wife, Michaela, because I've known her since she was young also, but you guys have we have a ministry at our church called Alpha. And I know that that's something near and dear has been near and dear to both of you. And it's something you've been small group leaders and what you felt as a student and through your years as young adult and all that, you want that for other people. And we have this amazing, ministry that has just revolutionized our church, but also lives of thousands of people. So just tell me real quick about that and what have you loved doing, by leading one of those groups, and then we'll close.
Yeah, I mean, Alpha is awesome. Like I've been in it, I think since 2021, like it helped us at first recover from the miscarriage. And while we were going through infertility, gave us a community of people who prayed for us. Like community was number one for us in Alpha. And I'll get to the actual Alpha course as well, but just meeting people from completely different walks of life. I think in our first group, we had like a single college dude. We had senior citizens who were married. We had, young couples. We had couples that had kids in high school, like everything. But when we shared our struggles and our disappointment, it was just such a different response than we were used to. Like they rallied around and they literally stopped what we were doing and prayed for us. And I remember just so many times, not just at the course, but after we had met them, like we'd see them in church or we'd get a text from them. And they were always saying like, even though you're struggling with infertility, like we believe you will hold a child of your own one day. And they said that with such faith that like by the end of the infertility journey, which we didn't know we were at the end until it happened, it was like we genuinely believe like, God, it might not be today, but like it's your timing. And it's because of these people, these leaders who just kept speaking life and they just kept just building faith even on days that we didn't have. And so community in Alpha is always built. Like every single Alpha group, I think I always hear testimonies of it's just the people that you come to know. It's these people that just come alongside you and genuinely want, I don't know, the best for you. Because I believe that about the entire church too, which is the way that Alpha groups are structured. It's impossible not to get close to these other people. And then Alpha in like a general sense, like the course itself, I come from a production background, creative background, I guess now. The videos are so well done. Like you don't start the videos and you're like, oh, this is a cheesy Christian thing again. It's like, this is well done. This is well thought out. They're intriguing. You want to, you know, you want to stay and watch them. And I just think even like, I think we're in our 10th semester of going through or being a leader. And we just had a group on Friday night and I'm still like getting new things out of it. And it's just amazing because it's for everybody. It's for people who maybe think in terms of a technical sense. It gives you so many like historical facts. Like this is why we believe what we believe. There's all of these facts to back up the Bible and its claims. And then on the complete opposite side of that, maybe if you're more of like a heart feeling, you know, feeling type of person, it's it gets into all of that. But then there's a weekend called Alpha Weekend, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. And I know that sounds, you know, depending on your background, that can sound weird. I remember telling my wife, like, I don't really want to go to this our first time just because it was an extra night of the week. Holy Spirit weekend, Alpha weekend sounded weird, but that was the first time I ever like truly learned about who the Holy Spirit really is without stereotypes. And now I'm just like you live living as a Christian without the Holy Spirit, like you're doing such a disservice to yourself, because the Holy Spirit's there to empower you to, you know, to lift Jesus higher and to spread the gospel really, but also to empower you and your gifts that have been, you know, planted in you since you were born. And it's crazy. Alpha is incredible. I will never stop hyping up Alpha because there's all, if you go into it with a mind of, I want to change, God, I need to hear you. I need, you know, to learn something, like you will come out of it changed. If you go in with that perspective, I think.
And honestly, if somebody's, whenever they listening to this, the day it drops or even in the future, and they're like, what? I'm interested in Alpha. They literally could go to our website, citizen.church, and just click on groups, and they'll, you know, Alpha is always listed. We always have something going on with it. So, you know, if you're listening to this and think, oh, what are they talking about? You can go on there, or you can, you know, send me a direct message and I'll, you know, give you the exact link and hook them up. But I think that your guys' involvement, I can't even say, because I remember the day exactly when I said, oh, you're in fine arts. And I've just felt like there's just some students that come through our student ministry that I just feel like I'm supposed to, you know, connect with and be the extra voice sometimes in their life. But our family, my husband and I, who, you know, we've been at that church for over 44 years, but we've, you know, your story, we're so proud of you. I can't even say that. I watch you and I see your wife. She's on weekend worship at our church and where you guys have come together. I mean, literally, I have so much pride and I'm so reminded when I see you guys and I hear your story today of God's faithfulness. And it is, I need to hear it over and over myself. Like you said, you were getting ready for the podcast. And it reminds us we have to have these stones of remembrance because we have to go back and say that I remember what you did, God, because there'll be a time when we face something and think, okay, are you still, you know, handling my life here, God? You know, I don't feel like I have your direct number right now. Maybe I'm on hold, but he reminds us, oh, I've got you and I've got every step and he, you know, he's directed your whole life. And so, I mean, do you have a final thought you could leave with people? I mean, I feel like that God has blessed you to live a dream. And I know you have more dreams and sometimes we don't even know what our dreams are. I mean, I'll be 64 this summer and I'm doing something I never thought I would do. I didn't even dream about it. I didn't even know, but somehow God's compelled me to hear people's stories and get the stories out. And so what final thought would you have for someone who's chasing a dream and they are in the wait, you know, and they just, you know, they need some encouragement.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, it's hard to give something that'll make you feel good when you're in that moment because you just want it now. I think the biggest, most practical thing is to use what's in front of you. You know, for me, I always thought I just needed a better camera and then I'd be a videographer. But ultimately what led me to motion design was just because I didn't have a good camera. And I feel like the only way to plus up my videos was to add motion graphics over it. And so that's where I learned. And so I'm very big on just using what you have, and just trusting God, like he's given you what you have right now for a reason. And again, like you might want something else or maybe better timing. There may be a better opportunity. You may literally need a better tool or equipment, but you are where you are for a reason. And it might be to build character. It may be for a completely different reason. But he knows. And as long as you do what you can with what you have, like put it in God's hands, like he's got it. And then I'll just end, like one verse that I've always kind of loved is Ecclesiastes 11, 4-6. I'll read it real quick. I have it up right here. I always try to read it every day. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And I just think that's a verse that just, like, you got to put in the work. You don't know when God's going to come through. You don't know when the door is going to open. But if you prepare now, and if you do everything you can right now, like, God's not going to turn a blind eye to that. Like, he knows if you're putting in the work, and eventually the harvest will come. And if you're ready, like, it'll be better than anything you've ever imagined. And so that'd be my quick tidbit of, advice. Just trust him. Like, he knows.
Well, I'm telling you, this has been absolutely incredible. I will talk to you about it when we're not recording anymore. But honestly, Robbie, you have blessed me so much just to, you've made my day, and I've just, God's so good and he's so faithful. And it's just been a highlight for me. I will tell you that right now. So, I mean, thank you for taking time out of your really busy schedule and you know, putting yourself out there to share your story, because I know it's going to help so many people. It's really been so beneficial to me. And if nobody else needed it, I surely did. So I thank you so much. And I can't wait to win your bracket again. And I'll be the repeat and see how that it's just luck, right? I mean, there's not even that. It's just luck. But I'm preparing. I'm watching teams. I'm getting ready to see who's good and see who's in the tournament. But thank you. Thank you for your guests. And God bless you, your guys, your family, and all of you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.